Title: Velocity Programming for Chopped Brakes Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the highest value skills in drum and bass drum programming, Velocity Programming for Chopped Brakes in Ableton Live. If you've ever chopped a brake, hit play and thought, okay, it loops, but it feels kind of stiff, velocity is usually the fix, because velocity is basically mix automation in disguise. It's telling the listener what the important words are in the sentence. And here's the big idea for this lesson. In chopped brakes, the pattern can stay the same, but if the velocities tell a better story, the groove suddenly feels human, rolling, and aggressive, without adding a single new sample. By the end, you'll have a sliced brake in a drum rack, a 1-bar rolling pattern with clean accents and ghosts, and then a 16-bar phrase that actually evolves so it doesn't sound like a robot loop. Let's set up. First, set your tempo to a drum and bass range, 172 to 175 BPM. If you don't know what to pick, choose 174. That's a nice middle ground. Now create one MIDI track. This will become your sliced brake drum rack. And optionally, create an audio track where you keep the original brake loop, just for reference. That reference is useful, because you can keep checking the original groove and vibe while you edit the MIDI. Next step, choose a brake and slice it. Pick something classic if you want, like Amen, Think, Funky Drummer style, but honestly any crunchy brake works. Drag the brake into an audio track, then right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. In the slicing settings, choose Transients. That's usually the best option for brakes, because it tries to find each hit. Leave the slice preset on built-in, that's fine. Ableton will create a new MIDI track with a drum rack, and each pad is a slice from the brake. Now, quick teacher note, slicing is not always perfect. Sometimes Ableton creates micro slices, where a hit gets split into two tiny transients. If later you hear a random hit that's oddly loud or flams, when it shouldn't, it might be two slices firing together on the same moment. We'll come back to that, but just keep it in mind. If the slicing feels messy right from the start, go back to the audio clip, turn warp on, use beats mode, set preserve to transients, and slice again. You're aiming for this. Kicks, snares, hats, and little internal ghost hits each living on their own pad as much as possible. Cool. Now let's get the MIDI looping. Open the MIDI clip that Ableton generated. Start with a 1-bar loop. Set your MIDI grid to 1/16, because that's where most of your break edit work happens in DNB. And here's an important mindset. We are not going to quantize everything to death. The break already has a feel. We're shaping dynamics more than timing today. Now we identify anchor hits. Anchor hits are the ones that define the groove, the ones your ear locks onto. In a lot of jungle and DNB break patterns, it's basically snares on beats 2 and 4, or the break's equivalent of that backbeat. Then kicks that support the roll, and often a main hat or shaker pulse that acts like a grid. So in the MIDI clip, locate the snare slices. Usually they're obvious. Loud hits, big waveforms, and they feel like the backbeat when you play the clip. These are your primary accents. Now we get into the core skill, the velocity map. Open the velocity lane at the bottom of the MIDI editor. This is where the groove comes alive. I'm going to give you starting ranges. These aren't laws, they're training wheels, but they work extremely well for beginner DNB chopped breaks. Main snare accents, 110 to 127. Main kick accents, 95 to 115. Drone hats or rides, 70 to 95. Ghost snares and small internal hits, 25 to 55. Tiny chatter texture hits, 15 to 35. Now here's the method that works every time, especially when you're new. Step 1. Normalize your starting point. Select all notes in the clip, and set them to a baseline velocity around 70. That instantly removes weird unevenness from the slicing and gives you a flat canvas. Now, step 2. Accent your snares. Find the snares on 2 and 4, and set them high. Go for 120 to 127. Don't be scared of that. In DNB, the backbeat is allowed to beat a statement hit. Step 3. Support with kicks. Select the key kicks that feel like they're driving the groove, and set them around 100 to 110. Step 4. Pull ghosts down. Identify those quick, in between snare-ish taps, little internal hits that make the break chatter. Set those to 30 to 50. They should be felt more than heard. If your ghosts are as loud as your main hits, the break turns into a messy argument instead of a groove. Step 5. Hats get motion. If you have continuous 1/16 hats, don't just randomize them evenly. That usually sounds like chaos, not groove. Instead, give hats a repeating accent shape. For example, strong, weak, medium, weak. Translated to velocities, that could be something like 90, 70, 80, 70 repeating, or make downbeats a little stronger, like 85 to 95, and offbeats a bit lower, like 65 to 80. This creates that classic snap plus roll feeling. Big backbeat, smaller internal movement. Now let's do a quick check that your velocity is actually doing something. Sometimes beginners program amazing velocity differences and it still sounds kind of flat. That's usually because velocity isn't meaningfully mapped, or the processing chain is flattening dynamics. So click a pad in the drum rack and open Simpler for that slice. You're checking. Does velocity affect volume? In many live setups, it does by default, but confirm you're not in a situation where everything is basically the same loudness no matter the MIDI velocity. Then, after the drum rack, add a few simple devices that keep velocity meaningful. First, a MIDI effect called velocity. Put it before the drum rack if you're using it to shape incoming velocities, or after if you're experimenting, but typically you put it before instruments. The key use here is subtle humanization, not chaos. Set random to something tiny, like 3 to 8. That's it. Seasoning, not the meal. Your accents must still be intentional. Next, add drum bus on the audio side after the drum rack. Set drive somewhere like 5 to 15 to taste. Keep boom off at first because boomy breaks can cloud your bass. Add a bit of crunch if you want texture, maybe 0 to 20. And then transients, try plus 5 to plus 20. Transients is your friend here because it helps your louder hits actually feel like they punch. Then add a saturator. Try soft sign or analog clip. Drive 1 to 4 dB, soft clip on. This makes accents feel bigger without you just turning up the channel. Important warning, if you throw heavy compression or limiting on the break right now, you can erase the dynamics you just programmed. Compression later on a drum group or master is fine, but while you're designing groove, keep it punchy, not squashed. Now we take your one bar loop and make it into music. Duplicate the MIDI clip out to 16 bars. In Ableton you can just extend the loop length and duplicate, or duplicate the clip and consolidate your idea. The point is, we want an actual phrase. Here's a simple 16-bar intensity plan that works in basically every DDNB tune. Bars 1 to 4, baseline groove, your main velocity map. Bars 5 to 8, slightly more ghost activity. Raise a few ghosts from 30 up to maybe 40 or 50. Bars 9 to 12, pressure section. Raise hat velocities overall by about 5 to 10. Not a ton. We're creating the feeling of energy. Bars 13 to 16. Fill and release. Either reduce a couple kicks or create a louder pickup moment. And here are two easy fill ideas using velocity only. First fill idea, a crescendo run. Find four fast hits near the end of bar 8 or bar 16, and ramp their velocities upward. For example, 80, 90, 105, 120. It's the same notes, but now it speaks like a fill. Second fill idea, the dropout illusion. Instead of deleting notes, pull velocities down for the last two beats of bar 16. Everything down by 15, except the essential timing cues. Then when bar 1 hits again, your groove feels like it slams back in, even if the samples never changed. Now, a classic DDNB trick, the pre-drop lift. In the last half bar before a drop, raise hat velocities slightly, raise some ghost snare velocities slightly, and add a snare flam. That's two close hits, the first at maybe 70, the second at 125. That creates urgency without adding new samples or overcomplicating the arrangement. Now let's talk groove and timing, briefly. Don't overquantize. If you want a bit of swing, use the groove pool lightly. You can try a swing 16 groove at 10 to 25%, or even better, extract groove from the original break. Right-click the audio clip and choose Extract Groove, then apply it gently to your MIDI. If something is messy, don't quantize everything. Quantize just the strong snares a little, like 50 to 70% strength, and leave ghosts natural. Think of it as guiding the groove, not snapping it to a grid. Now let's cover common mistakes so you can avoid them fast. Mistake 1. Everything near 127. That gives you a stiff, fatiguing break, and your ghosts stop being ghosts. They become extra snares you didn't ask for. Mistake 2. Ghost notes too loud. That makes the break cluttered and it fights your bass and vocals. Mistake 3. Heavy compression early. Again, it flattens your velocity work. Mistake 4. Random velocity everywhere. Random is a spice. If the accents aren't intentional, the listener can't latch onto the groove. Mistake 5. No arrangement variation. A perfect one-bar loop is still boring when it repeats for 16 bars. Use velocity to make sections. Now, quick pro tips: if you're going darker or heavier, keep main snares at 120 to 127. Use drum bus transients, maybe plus 10 to plus 25, and a little saturator with analog clip to get bite. And here's a powerful concept: two velocity ceilings. Try keeping most non-anchor hits below about 95, then reserve 110 to 127 for statement hits only. That separation is what makes accents feel deliberate, not just everything louder. Another tip: dark hat control. If your hats are too crispy, keep their velocities lower, like 60 to 85, and use an auto filter after the drum rack. Low pass around 10 to 14 kHz to taste. Darkness often comes from removing top end, not adding more distortion. And one sound design extra that's super effective: make velocity change tone, not just volume. In simpler, turn on the filter. Set a low pass somewhere around 8 to 14 kHz depending on the break. Add a little envelope amount, and keep the decay short. The result is that hard hits get a tiny bit brighter, so your accents cut through the mix without harsh EQ. Now let's do a mini practice exercise so you can lock this in. Slice a break to drum rack. Make a 1-bar loop. Set all velocities to 70. Then apply this plan: main snares to 125, main kicks to 105, hats alternating 90 and 70 on 1/16s, ghost snares around 35 to 45, duplicate to 16 bars. Add two variations. In bar 8, ramp 4 fast hits up from 80 to 120. In bar 16, reduce velocities for the last two beats by about 15, then return to normal on bar 1. Then do a really important test: turn your track down a lot, like uncomfortably quiet. Ask yourself, do the backbeat snares still read clearly? Do the ghosts add motion without becoming clutter? Does bar 16 feel like a setup? If yes, you're doing it right, because if it bounces quietly, it'll bounce loud. Last thing, a homework challenge: if you want to level up, make two separate 2-bar clips using the exact same chopped break slices. Clip A and clip B. Clip A is tight and punchy. Big backbeat, restrained hats, clear separation. Clip B is urgent and busy, but you are not allowed to add notes. Only raise hats and ghost notes slightly, and add one mini crescendo into a snare. Then pick one sound design move. Either make accents brighter with that small filter envelope trick, or add a very subtle parallel saturation chain you can toggle. This audio version is shortened for playback.